Hello, 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 and welcome back, everyone, to the third season of Signals from the Deep, the official podcast of your Seattle Kraken. You are listening to the voice of Piper Shaw, as well as...
JT Brown. I am here again.
We are thankfully here.
You let me back?
I let you back?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't
realize
that.
That's what I'm going with.
Okay. Yeah, that's the narrative that you're peddling. All right, I'll accept it. Happy to have you here with me, co-host. And I'm really happy to be back recording Signals from the Deep. This show, we've had to, I don't want to say undergo an overhaul. That's not the case. But as you guys all know, we had to say farewell to our producer, Grant, who was so delightful and so awesome. And he is, you know, the reason that this show existed in the first place. And, you know, he's moved on to other things. He's with the PWHL now. So very cool. He's still in the hockey world. But that meant that, you know, we had a little bit of an identity crisis without our guy, right? But we're so excited to introduce you guys to our new producer, Drew. Say hi.
Hi, everyone. Glad to be here. Stoked for season three of Signals from the Deep. We got some exciting enhancements to the show for you.
Yeah, we do have a couple of things. You may notice that we sound a little bit different. And then also, you may be watching this podcast, yeah. Which I always wonder about if it's still considered a podcast when it's all on video. But then it's like, that's how every podcast is these days anyways, it seems.
Honestly, I don't know the answer to that. But you know what? I'm glad we're on video. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, 100%.
So see some of the reactions, you know, that we were always saying, oh, well, you know, JT was doing this, or when John was in our end zone, we have all these different people on, we were trying to explain their reaction. It's kind of nice to be able to see it as well.
Yeah. So if you are listening to this on an audio platform, thank you very much. Just so you know, you also can check this show out on YouTube now. So we're really excited about that. And the organization is putting in some work to make that happen for us, as is our new producer, Drew. So Drew, I was hoping that you could just share with the fans a little bit about yourself, maybe, you know, your interest in podcasting or hockey or Kraken, where you're from.
Yeah, I am a local. I'm born and raised here in Washington. So I was very excited for us to finally get a hockey team. I didn't necessarily grow up a huge hockey fan, just not really having it be a big part of our community. But knowing we had a new team coming before we even had the name, I was hoping that it would be the Kraken. And then the logo came out and I was just sold. So I'm a fan now. I love the team. It's awesome atmosphere in the Iceplex at Northgate where we're recording. Mm-hmm. It's also a great time, obviously, in game at CPA. And it's just so cool to see it, you know, come to fruition after all these years. And I mean, like, I even graduated at Key Arena when it was still Key Arena. Yeah. So then going back there and like working there at times is really just a blessing. It's so great. And beyond that, I do marketing for the Iceplex. So you might see me running around with a camera at times. And I also, I do love podcasting. And one of my coworkers here and I share a podcast, and we've done that for a few years now. So it's a great time, and I'm happy to be able to bring my talents onto the show.
Movie buffs. Yeah, I think love you can movies. Plug the podcast if you want to.
Okay, yeah, it's called Movie Feeders, and it's on all available platforms, and we just... like talk about movies, really just break it down and just what we love about them, some behind the scenes info, and yeah,
totally.
We're happy to have the experience as well, and you know, to make this transition as smooth as possible. And obviously, like you said, we're gonna make, you know, improvements in some areas. We're gonna keep a lot of it the same. It's still the same, you know, Piper and I. What we're gonna talk about, how we're going to move things. So I think it's gonna be a fun new experience, and everybody needs to keep tuning in.
Yeah. I want to start out with the biggest off-season acquisition in my eyes, if you will. And that is JT's new 7-foot Jar Jar Binks statue. I just feel like we really need to address this. You may have seen this on JT's social channels.
Yeah.
Please explain yourself, sir.
Well, first of all, I have the Jar Jar Binks tattoo, so we talked about that last season as well when I got it. So big Jar Jar fan. And in 2018, when I was playing in Anaheim, I can't remember the store, but right in the little shopping complex right by the hotel that we always stay at. We were just walking through there, and I went into the store, and a lot of vintage stuff, a lot of more comics and stuff like that. And that statue, not the exact one, but the same statue was there. And I was like, I need to have this. I'm going to buy it. Well, going back, it was the end of the season. I had to get back to Minnesota. So shipping it and the details, the logistics of me buying it then were not going to be very good. Yeah. So I was like, but then I regretted it I won't say every day, but every time I thought about it, I'm like, I regret not buying this 7 foot tall Jar Jar. So the following year,
Hey, you got any regrets in your life?
Yeah.
JT Brown. Let me tell you about mine.
It was a regret that I did not buy it. And then the following year I went back to try to look for it. I'm like, I'm getting it. Like, I really need to go get it. The store's no longer there. Jar Jar Binks clearly not there because the store's not there. So I was a little upset. So I kind of had forgotten about it, forgot that it really existed. And then it was on X. I got a message. Let me make sure.
Formerly Twitter.
Yes. From RJ on X. And he showed me a picture. Somebody was selling it on Facebook Marketplace. Said, I think you'd be interested in this. And I was like, no way. There's absolutely no chance that this is being sold. It's about 30 minutes away. So it's drivable. I don't have to worry about shipping it. And surprising enough, I didn't even have to convince Lexi to go purchase it. She was all on board. Mm-hmm. And right now it's in my office. I already have forgotten that I bought it. I think it was probably like 3 or 4 days afterwards. I went into my office. Lights were a little dim. A little bit of a jump scare out of the corner of my eye seeing a 7 foot tall figure. As soon as I realized, oh yeah, I bought a 7 foot tall Jar Jar, I kind of laughed at myself for getting that little jump scare. But again, it was just one of those opportunities where I had wanted to buy it, you know, years prior. And then when it showed up, there was nothing. I just had to have it.
Yeah. It's one of those things, like, you never know when you're in the store and you're walking away from an item, if you're going to regret that someday, until you do or you don't. And yeah. I would say more often than not, you don't. It's like, no, I don't need that thing. What a waste of my money. Where am I going to put that? Like,
that's how I knew I needed it though.
Exactly. You knew you had buyer's remorse in the other way. Non-buyer's remorse.
I mean, again, like, I don't know how many of them they made, you know, I think it was like it was a promotional item. So obviously there are more than one of them. The guy who sold to me said he got it from the store out of the lottery and he's had it in his basement ever since. So clearly it was not the one that was in Anaheim. So there's definitely multiple, but how often are these just coming onto the market? How often is somebody selling it?
You know, everybody really wants these things too. Like, this
how
is
many
a hot
people
item.
Are trying to Everyone, buy Jar Jar? I don't
do
know.
They? Exactly.
Well, one person's trash is another's treasure, okay? This is a treasure.
Sure.
This is a treasure. And I am going to hold on to this for a very, very long time.
I will say one of the best parts about it is that the photo of you are overjoyed. You are overjoyed in the photo. So
I was just happy we were able to get it in the car. Like, it was tough. Lexi's got an SUV, and I mean, we had about an inch and a half to spare. She was pushed all the way, like, her seat was pushed all the way up to get through. And actually, I think the best part about it, we actually were supposed to go on a date night. And then we got the message on Facebook Marketplace that we accepted the offer. And we're like, all right, I guess we're not going to dinner tonight. The kids were getting watched. And all of a sudden I was like, well, we're going to take the drive. So that's what we ended up doing.
Different
instead
kind of adventure.
Instead of going on date night, we picked up a 7 foot tall Jar Jar.
That is marriage, ladies and gentlemen. I feel like we need to talk about hockey, though. I love this. I love this for you.
If we must.
Some huge news, speaking of just long-awaited things around this organization. Third jersey launch. We have it in our possession. JT, I wish I could do a little drum roll here. Yes, gorgeous. So all black. Let me describe this for you. If you are out there in the world and you have not seen this, the team is going to wear this jersey for 12 games. 11 of them are at home. I believe one of them is on the road. And there's a couple of fun little details about it. So obviously the big thing about it is that there's glow-in-the-dark elements of it, which is going to be so cool in warm-ups at Club Pledge Arena. Yeah, that's going to be super cool. So, you know, Aaron, who's our vice president of brand here, he said, we set out to design a third jersey. We wanted to create something that's a bit more menacing and intense. So the inspiration is drawn from the eerie shadows of the deep, hence the black and the glow. And then it's got like the sonar stripes on the sleeve there. Yeah, it's It's pretty cool. What do you think, JT?
Oh, I think it's awesome. I think a lot of teams, obviously, getting that third jersey, you get to kind of maybe go away from your standard colors, or you get to add a different thing. So obviously, going with the black, I do agree with the, you know, a little more menacing. It's the, mm-hmm. the dark jersey. I think the glow and the dark aspect is going to be awesome. Great for the fans. Obviously, a new piece of merchandise that they get to rep proudly, and we see it all the time walking around the city of Seattle, how much this city is already embarked into the Seattle and what they're all about. You know, for me as a parent, I'm extremely excited that there's a black jersey. I'm going to try to get the kids that, because they are messy. And go to the games, you're spilling nacho cheese. Like,
well, Navy is pretty forgiving.
I know, but there's still other, there's more, you know, the light blues along the side. So there is a lot less that can go wrong.
Oh, yes, JT Brown, always a practical man. Not that he just bought a 7-foot Jar Jar statue, but.
Obviously the jersey is awesome. And then the first thing I'm like, well, it's time for Booker to get a new jersey. I'm going to make sure he gets a black one so that it stays clean.
Yeah. I we're sitting here, we're both wearing black.
Yeah, it's the color.
I like black, so I love that we have a black jersey. So
Lily, I'm not too sure. I don't know if she wants a jersey.
Well, she'll get one probably, whether she likes it or not. So anyway, we're super hyped about the third jersey. If you haven't seen it yet, now you've seen it if you're watching this podcast. Otherwise, go check it out. Yeah, so 11 games at home, one game on the road. All black kit, too, that the guys are wearing with matte black helmets. And there's a couple of glow-in-the-dark elements on the helmets and other parts of the gear, too. So,
do I get to keep this jersey?
Drew?
I'll get back to you on that one.
I don't think
fair.
I don't think he should get to. I think you need to purchase one like everybody else, JT. Well, everyone else.
You never know if you don't ask. Try.
Let's dive into the schedule, if you will. We are going to have Shane Wright on the show in just a little bit here. We talk about it more with him. But this schedule is extremely condensed this year because there is a 3-week break in February for the Olympics, of course. Just, JT, when you saw the schedule, what jumped out to you about it?
It just looks like it. Obviously, there's different spaces throughout, but it almost feels like it's every other day. There's going to be a lot of games. There's not going to be a whole lot of downtime. There's a few pros you could look at. When you look at this type of a schedule, I look at, hey, you're going on a run, team's playing well. Well, you just get to keep playing. You get to turn it over, go to that next game, and try to continue that run versus having some of that time off, you know, maybe a few practices in between. Do you lose that momentum throughout, you know, a season? But obviously in this season, there's just going to be a lot of games back to back. And I also can look at it from the other side, say you're not playing well, you lose a game or it didn't go your way. Well, you get to just throw that away and we're going to be playing again in 2 nights or, you know, back to backs throughout the season as well. But I think with the condensed schedule, you have that opportunity to ride different waves of momentum or maybe cancel it and not have to worry or think about it so much. That's kind of the big for the pros side for me. I think there's a more cons in my eyes of having this type of, a schedule, especially looking at with a new coaching staff, condensed schedule will result in less practice time, right? So how quickly can you get adjusted to what the coaching staff is asking? How quickly can you establish that identity in the way that you want to play? And without having those practice days can be hard. Doesn't mean it's impossible, but at the same time, that's one of them. Obviously, there's going to be less rest throughout the season. There's two really, really long road trips for the guys. One of them very early. One of them, I believe, in March. Is it March? I think it is. I did write it down, so I could actually probably look at my notes and say, yes, it is in March. but I think, you know, when you get into that, it turns into a grind. Obviously, it's going to be nice to have that 3-week break, you know, to kind of reset and refocus throughout the season a little bit longer than, you know, the Four Nations that they had in last year and or the normal break during that time. But it's going to be tough. I mean, I think it's going to be, you know, from the player standpoint, really focusing in on, you know, that day-to-day mentality because they are.
Routine is even more
coming
important.
So quick. But for a fan, you have to love it, right? Yeah. There's going to be a lot of hockey. You know, even if the Kraken aren't playing, every other team in the league also has this condensed schedule where, you know, there's going to be nights where, you know, even if the Kraken aren't playing, there's going to be plenty of hockey, you know, for the hockey fans to go out and watch.
Yeah, for sure. So we start with Anaheim and Vegas at home, and then you alluded to this, but just a long trip right off the rip there with Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, Philly, Washington to play the Caps, and then Winnipeg.
Just had to add that at the end, right?
Every time we go to Winnipeg, it's like, let's just throw that on at the end there, which, you know, everyone's got to go to Winnipeg. So you got to go sometime, you know, it is what it is, but that is a long trip, to kind of start things out with. I will say on a personal note, it feels like we always have that trip in like January, which obviously, you know, Montreal in January, Toronto in January, it is the coldest times of the year, February and January, to be in some of these hockey markets. So yeah. I'm like, on a very, very shallow personal note, I'm like, it's going to be nice to enjoy decent weather in some of these cities and actually be able to see them, because usually when it's, you know, -5 degrees, I'm not particularly compelled to go explore Winnipeg. So
no, that's fair. I mean, and going to the road trips, obviously, say long. I mean, the first one, I believe it's 11 days, 6 games. Mm-hmm. The next one, I believe it's 14 days. The one in March, I'm talking 14 days and 6 games. And I don't know, every player obviously is different, but I thought from my perspective in going onto the road and having these type of road trips, you know, when you get into that, 7 days is fine. Like, you go out for 5-7 days, you know, that's a good road trip. I think once you start getting past that 10-day mark, that's a lot of time in the hotels. That's a lot of time going from city to city and not coming back home. Obviously, I don't think.
And then when it's freezing on top of it, it's like,
no player wants to go play 1 game, 2 games, be on the road for 2 to 3 days and then back home and like keep jumping all around. So you have to have these extended type trips, you know, obviously geographically where we're located, going out to the East Coast, and like, it's just not possible to just keep going back and forth. Or I guess it is, but it just wouldn't be smart for them to do that. So these have to happen. But I'm like, for the most part, I always found that like 5 to 7 day road trips, you know, those were good.
Sweet spot.
Once you start getting past 10 days, all of a sudden, like, then it starts to drag on a little bit. And then you're worried about, you know, when we talk about, like, oh, it's the last game of a long road trip, how are they going to play? Well, they've been on the road for a very long time. So when we say, you know, it's a long road trip, like, that's kind of the mindset that I look at. And when you look at 11 days and 14 days, it's hard to pack for those long days too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, it is. But yeah, I think stay tuned for Shane's interview. I thought he had some great insight and some thoughts on that as well. So we'll keep it moving here. There have obviously been also a lot of changes to the Kraken as an organization. We don't have time to get into every single one of them because there are truly so many shifts. But we got to acknowledge, obviously, some of the big ones, including Ron Francis being promoted to president of hockey operations, and Jason Botterill promoted to general manager, of course, a new coaching staff as well. So new head coach in Lane Lambert. He's coming in from the Toronto Maple Leafs and bringing in some assistants as well. Any kind of thoughts on all those shakeups, JT?
You know, I think the first thing I think of is that schedule. And we kind of just alluded to about how fast the players are going to have to get adapted to what the new coaching staff wants. I think, you know, from the perspective of looking at last year and where the team should have done or where they could have gone, maybe an unsuccessful year in that sense, right? Where you thought they were going to do better. So you bring in the new coaching staff. And, you know, one of the things that really kind of stood out to me when you look at with Lane and kind of how he was talking and, you know, saying it's going to be a non-negotiable for this team to play the right way and making sure that everybody has their role. They're going to know what their role is. And I think that's imperative for a team and to find that success. Everybody has their job and they know what they need to do. And again, the accountability aspect of the non-negotiable, you're going to go out and play the right way. I think he's going to expect, you know, a lot from the players. I think at the end of the day, those are good and high expectations that you need to have a, you know, winning organization. And how do you take that next step? So again, there's different aspects of the Kraken where they need to really, you know, focus, especially on that defensive side of the game, which I think he can bring that side as well. And he can make sure, like I said, detail-oriented, making sure you're playing the right way and, again, being accountable from that standpoint. So, again, you look at who they brought in, what they're going to expect out of the players. I think it's a positive. And now it's all about how fast can they get acclimated to what they're asking, because it's not always about the X's and O's. It's about getting every single player, all of the players on the ice on the same page at the same time and not just having a couple guys going or a couple guys here and then kind of going on. Everyone needs to be going at the same time. And I'm, again, just from what we've seen, what we've heard, obviously today is first day of official training camp going on as we're recording this, and you watch the practices, the guys are working hard. It's going to be a tough, from the practice standpoint, but they want to be a tough team to play. So you bring all that aspect in and, you know, now you're just focusing on how fast they can put it all together.
One of the things, too, that we've heard from Coach Lambert early, too, is this emphasis on structure as well. And I've talked with a bunch of the guys about what that kind of means to them without having skated yet. And I could tell that the general reaction was, yes, that would be great, and that's something that we need. So that feels positive that they already seem to be bought in before they had even, you know, been on the ice with some of those things too. And also a handful of our guys also have a lot of familiarity with Lane as well, including Jordan Eberle. He spoke very highly of him. He was very excited to have him come in. Fun fact, Chandler Stevenson actually grew up in the same cul-de-sac as Lane, but Stevie told me he doesn't really like remember it because he was so little. But Lane remembers him, and then they had shared time with the Caps as well. So anyways, there is some familiarity there, and I would say a lot of like my general impressions from doing all these preseason interviews is that the guys are feeling pretty good about it. So that's a positive.
You add in some new additions as well throughout the team and the different signings throughout the offseason, trades that happened, you know, around the draft as well. And you got to bring everybody in. And like you said, as long as you're buying in, which like you say, you talk about it, all the players want the best and they're going to listen. And it's about just getting it all on the same page and figuring it out. Obviously, everybody's coming from different, you know, last year was maybe a different system. They come from a different team in a different system. How do you rewire that in your brain, you know, so that you're not thinking out on the ice and you're doing exactly what, you know, the new coaching staff wants?
Totally. You mentioned some off-season acquisitions. Let's go through those quickly. There will be a time that, you know, we'll go into every single individual, and maybe we can even get them all on the show and go into it more with them. But for the sake of this show, let's talk about Ryan Lindgren, Mason Marchment, Freddie Gaudreau, and Matt Murray joining the team. Ryan Lindgren, defenseman, coming to us from the Rangers. Mason Marchment, a lot of buzz around Mason. I know you had a couple thoughts there.
Well, I mean, the first thing you look at, at least for me, you see him, you stand there, is the size aspect. And from a forward perspective for the Kraken, haven't always had that size presence, right? And a guy that's not afraid to go to the front of the net. And, you know, maybe he's not the most physical person in the world. He doesn't have to go out and run somebody through the boards every single time. And when I'm talking about size, I'm talking about using that frame to shield the puck, to win those battles along the boards, to move somebody out of the net front, get there for the open, for the tip. Obviously, he does have a scoring capability as well. Back-to-back seasons with 20 goals. He can move up and down the lineup. You know, something where, again, as a team that usually scores and when they win, it's by committee, you're going to need guys that can put up points, you know, no matter where they are. Are they getting a lot of power play time or are they not getting power play time? We still need, as a team, to have a lot of players contributing. And I think he can be a big contributing factor. But again, you look at his size and you go 6'5", 212 pounds. I mean, we haven't had them. I mean, you look at Oleksiak on the back end for the defenseman, like that's the big rig, right? Mm-hmm. So to bring somebody in that has that size and can use that to, you know, especially on, you know, smaller defensemen out in the net front, you know, making his way through. But again, he does have a skill aspect. So
yeah.
I think you can add a little bit of, you know, what we've seen from him in Dallas and see maybe he gets a little bit more of a role here, a bigger opportunity here in Seattle, and can he expand on those without losing, you know, some of the things that made him successful?
Yeah, and with talking with some of the vets too earlier this week, a lot of them said that they felt like what he brings helps kind of supplement what they feel like the team lost last year at the trade deadline as well, and that all of them kind of described him as a guy that like brings some bite. And I think that's good in this mix. A little extra bite would be good for the bunch. And they all seem to feel that way too. He was telling me that he actually didn't even really fall in love with hockey until much later in his life. And he broke his ankle playing basketball. And then he grew all of a sudden. I think he said he grew like a foot and a half in like 6 months.
Still waiting for that to happen.
And then he worked with Barb Underhill, which is a very well-known power skating coach, to completely relearn how to skate, because he was like, I was 19 years old. I barely knew how to skate anymore because I grew so much. So he has an interesting story too. And then him and Monty are also.
That definitely helps, right? Oh, especially getting acclimated, right, to a new team, and you have somebody in the locker room that you know very well. And again, everything, you know, all the guys, you know, from talking, you see them, they obviously, no one has anything bad to say about him, right? So obviously a character guy, you know, in and out of the locker room as well, and you see his play, and, you know, you're just hoping for the best as we go into this season. And again, for him, it's a big year for him as well, right? He's got 1 year left on his contract. And so, you know, those are the times where guys, you know, they go out, they're playing for something as well. They want to get that next contract. And hopefully, you know, he does that here. And, you know, he can be a staple, you know, for this team for, you know, the years to come. So it's about We got to go out there. They have to go play the games. We have to watch and see how things roll out. But when you look at the move on paper, you look at what he potentially can bring to this team, I think it's a great move.
Yeah, and I was even talking with Tyson Jugnauth as well, who was in Seattle pretty much all summer training with our staff here, and he said that Mason was also here most of the summer as well. And I asked him just generically, like, are there any – like vets that, you know, you've really taken to, or that, you know, you've been taking a lot of advice from. And immediately the first thing out of his mouth was Mason Marchment. He's like, I spent like every day with him this summer and I admire him so much. And it was before I had even met Mush, as he is known. So that also, you know, I'm like, okay, that's very positive as well, that even like the younger guys are already kind of taken to him. So I wanted to touch on quickly to Ryan Lindgren. So for folks who maybe are not glued to the New York Rangers and everything that has gone on with their organization, that is where he was. Obviously, that's where Kaapo Kakko was before the Kraken traded for him last December as well. And so I asked Kaapo, I'm like, you know, how would you describe Ryan? Like, what's he kind of bring to the bunch? And he said, oh, he is one of the best teammates I have ever had. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, say more. He's like, when I was in New York and I was kind of, you know, overwhelmed by everything that is New York City and playing in Madison Square Garden, he made sure I got to practice every day and home every day. And he made me feel like if I ever had any questions, he had my back no matter what. And he said, and that's how he plays. That's how he defends. He will do whatever he has to do for his teammates. And I also think that says a lot. And he said it very passionately, which, if you know, for Kaapo, you know, he's pretty sarcastic. He's pretty dry. So that seems like pretty high praise. So that feels like high praise as well and a good addition to the group.
Yeah, you talk about doing whatever it takes and going out and showing with your play on the ice. Obviously, you know, the friendship aspect and being a, you know, a leader or somebody that, you know, another player can count on off the ice. But I just look at the guys who are the gamers, you know, out on the ice. The ones that are out there laying out, sacrificing themselves, doing whatever it takes, no matter what, playing through injury, doing all of these little things. Those are the things that are infectious as a team.
Totally.
And you watch somebody else doing it, and now all of a sudden you bring somebody else into the fight. We've talked about that many times with other players. You know, to add a player like that, that can play that way, especially on the back end, you know, it can definitely help not only just the team, but how everybody else will play and how they see it around it.
Yeah, 100%. So there's much more to unpack with the with, you know, some of the new guys, but we got a lot of signals coming out from the deep over the course of the season. So we'll get there. We want to touch on a couple of guys that had great years last year. We have to acknowledge, of course, Jaden Schwartz and the way he stepped up, Ellie Tolvanen as well, and even Kaapo Kakko. Any thoughts on, especially, you know, with Jordan Eberle out of the mix and some other guys out of the mix for extended periods of time last year, what do you kind of take away from what those guys were able to do?
I mean, the big thing for Schwartzy was, you know, staying healthy and be able to have, you know, a great season leading the team when it comes to goals, 26. That was the most he's had since, what was it, 2015, 14-15 so. With St. Louis, where he had 28 goals. So to kind of see that resurgence, finding the back, and that you see that confidence, not only what he was able to do, you know, personally, but once he was on that line with Matty Beniers and Kaapo as well, they were awesome. One of the best lines to go through. So, and I think, you know, having that leadership, that veteran presence really helped them kind of settle into the season as well. So, you know, having him healthy, that was huge. Being able to play, what is it, 81 out of the 82 games, and to be able to showcase, you know, he still can do this at a very, very high level and continue to do it. You hope for that same sort of success, and you go to a little bit of a younger guy in Tolvanen, you know, still coming off of a very good year, down somewhat in the numbers, but we still watched him play every single game. He's got a heck of a shot. We see that many times, but for him to be able to score, the physicality and lead the team in hits as well, still over 20 goals, and did that with limited power play time. Will he get more power play time or be able to showcase that shot, you know, this year? Who knows what that is? I think towards the end of the year, got to see him on the penalty kill as well, which wasn't the way it started. So seeing his role, I guess, expand throughout the season, I think we'd all like to see that shot, that one-timer, you know, maybe get a few power play minutes. But he's shown that he can still do that even with a limited role or limited opportunity
third line,
out there.
Fourth line minutes,
And to be able to see him sort of kind of flourish in that way. And also, like I said, showing him on the penalty kill, getting him to see in different spots throughout. So for me, it was a big year. Obviously, like I said, the numbers weren't the same as the prior year, but I think his numbers were still very good, and we got to see him flourish in other aspects as well.
Yeah, and then just really quickly on Kaapo Kakko too, I think, like, I'm personally really looking forward to seeing what him with a fresh contract in hand, a commitment to the team, you know, what that can do for him in his game too, because he, you know, he'll talk about all the time about how I just needed an opportunity and somebody to believe in me and make me feel like I was put in a position to succeed. And he feels very strongly that he was here. And so I'm looking forward to seeing now what, you know, what he can kind of do with
had that fresh start. There's obviously the changes of scenery, right? But then mentioned too, like having a team, they put their confidence and their faith in him by giving him a new contract and a new deal. So that going out there with all the confidence in the world, and again, starting from scratch, starting, you know, a brand new full year with this team to see what he can do.
Yeah. And I'm also happy to report, or regretfully report, depends on your perspective of this, he is indeed back living with Ellie Tolvanen again. He said he needed a new place to live, so he's back apartment hunting. And Tolvi told me, he's like, yeah, I already need him out. I'm like, you've been here for like 4 days. He's like, yeah, I need him gone already. So I'm sure maybe by the time you're listening to this, he's found a place. I'll be sure to try to keep you guys updated about that. But and then I just wanted to do a quick thought as well on some of the young guys. Obviously, it's training camp, a huge opportunity to try to prove yourself, show what you can do, show what you've worked on, where you're at right now. So I want to start by talking about Berkeley Catton a little bit, and just kind of what the situation that he is in and that the team is in looks like right now with him at his age.
I mean, I think the age is the harder aspect of it, right? Obviously, he's coming in 19 years old and has the opportunity to go back and play juniors, or is he going to come up and is he going to play in the National Hockey League? And I think the organization, the staff, they have questions that they, you know, this is what the training camp is for, right? They're going out to see, is he NHL ready right now? How long is it going to take? Does he need to go back? What are the processes for him to go through? And again, he could come out and have a fantastic camp and push somebody out of their spot. That's what you want as an organization. You want your young players to push the veterans. Nobody comes into it and says, all right, this person has a spot. It's guaranteed, right? But somebody has to show themselves to prove and push you out of that spot. So it does make it a little bit harder in that sense, just with where the age is and what he can do, not eligible to go down to the American Hockey League. Mm-hmm. Big difference on top of that standpoint. But again, it's got all the skill in the world. He's a fantastic player. And then they have to decide, well, is it better for him to play against, you know, the younger competition, or the competition that he's consistently back-to-back 100-point years in the WHL.
He's clearly proven himself beyond the WHL.
Is he
going to
gain
WHL
more
level
going back for another year there, or is he going to do better if he's here? Is he going to get top 6 minutes? Mm-hmm. Is it better to put him down in a fourth role just to get him acclimated? You know, we saw with Shane Wright being able to go down to the American League and play that year, and we saw how much that helped his development. Is it going to help him to, if he's not going to be in the lineup every single day, or if he's not going to get in a top six position, get the power play time, where again, that's why you draft this player, right? He has all of the skill. Is it going to be more beneficial for him to go down, or is it going to be beneficial for him to stay up, even if it's just practicing with the team? Does he play up to the, you know, the 10 game limit and then go down? There's so many different things that could happen. And again, he could also continue to keep playing himself into a rostered spot. So the question is he ready? That's what the training camp's for. That's what all that work in the offseason for him was for. I don't have the answers for that. That's why, you know, they're over there analyzing, watching every single practice, seeing where he's at. And these preseason games are going to be so crucial. But we know the skills there. We know that he is a phenomenal player and has the potential to continue to have his ceiling keep grow. But is today or is this year going to be the year? That's what's up, you know, for this preseason. But again, I know that this player, as we go down the line, is going to be a huge part of the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah, 100%. I want to touch on Ryker Evans quickly as well. Just kind of finding his game at the NHL level. And yeah, I mean, you know what it's like to transition from the AHL to the NHL, and what, you know, Ryker and Shane, those guys have had to feel out in that adjustment. Just kind of your thoughts on where, you know, what he showed last year and where he's at.
You know, I thought the year was good for him. I thought we saw a lot of development when we talk about his game. There were times where, you know, Vince Dunn wasn't playing and he stepped up into a more elevated role, and you got to see, you know, some of the more, maybe a little more offensive side come out, or, you know, see him take a larger role when it comes to the minutes that he was playing. A lot of the season, you know, move down into that third pairing, but see the ability for him to continue to move up. I think his skating is fantastic. We've just got to go watch him out on the ice again. Still physical, you know, even though he's not the biggest defenseman in the world, you know, he plays a much bigger game than, you know, the way he, I guess, stature as far as the height is concerned. Yeah. But you know, for him, it's about taking another step. And I think that's when you look at any young player, whether it's Shane Wright, you know, Caton going through, how are they going to take that next step this year, wherever that is. And for me, you know, watching Riker, it's the consistency night in and night out. It's hard throughout an entire NHL season, especially as a young player, to play. You're not going to play every game perfect. You're not going to have a good game every single game. But how do you limit, or how do you get out of, you know, hey, it was a bad game. How do I shake this
off?
How do we go through? And yes, like you said, recover. We talked about Shane Wright recovering from getting scratched and how the type of run he went on. Not saying that Riker needs to be scratched to kind of go on that type of run, but how does he continue to develop within his game and what the coaches are asking of him to do?
Yeah, 100%. And you're going to hear from Shane in just a moment here, but just quickly, I mean, Shane was able to just be kissing a 20-goal season, 19 goals, 25 assists, 44 points in, I believe, 79 games? 79 games?
Yep,
I think 79. It's just two, I think, are the only two that he missed. But that's not too shabby for the situations also that he was playing in and all of that. Just a quick thought before we get to hear from Shane himself.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, from the standpoint of we wanted to see what steps he could take or what growth he could take throughout a year, and he proved that. He proved that he belongs in the National Hockey League. Again, we talk about the development of going down to the American Hockey League, finding that success, then moving to the NHL, and then, again, he found success last year in many different ways and to see that kind of jump. So for this year, again, you're not asking him, like, hey, how high of a jump are you going to take? You want him to obviously continue to progress and continue to grow within his game, which we saw, and find that steady growth for him, right? We're not asking for all of a sudden, hey, you need to get 75 points this year. Like, that's not what the team's asking. It'd be fantastic if he did. It'd be a great year. But I think they're just looking, all right, what did you do good at last year? All right, we need you to continue to be good at that, and then let's elevate it again. Let's elevate, you know, when you look at him, he's a great two-way forward. Defensively, he's been strong. All right, well, we saw him get in on the penalty kill. Maybe you're going to get more penalty-killing minutes this year. That's where we can put you out there. Also on the power play. We've seen him score on the power play as well last year. He's going to get more.
In times where it seemed no one else would.
You're going to get more opportunities, and now we get to see what he's going to do with it because of how he played last year, right? He set himself up to get more opportunities this year. What is he going to do? And I think that's the question. I mean, again, the guy works extremely hard.
Yeah.
Tireless worker, great two-way hockey player. And again, it's all about taking that next step or, you know, evolving your game. It's never about staying static. Obviously, it was a great year. You can't just sit high on the fact that you had a good year last year. How do you continue to push the pace and not find your way into a regression?
Yeah. And folks, here he is, the man, the myth, the legend, Shane Wright, to answer those questions and more for all of us here on Signals from the Deep. Well, welcome, Shane Wright, to this season's first episode of Signals from the Deep.
Well, first, wow.
Yeah, for the season, not okay. Ever.
Got yeah.
But you are the first of the year. We picked you intentionally. We felt like it'd be good to, you know, start things with a bit of a bang. Mm-hmm. So first, obviously, just kind of training camp getting underway here. What was your summer like, and what's your kind of prep coming into the year?
Yeah, summer is great. I mean, it was a longer summer than I've had in the past with, you know, a couple deep runs with Coachella. So it was nice having a little extra time to train. You have an extra month to really prepare and, you know, work on some things where you might not get to work on it if you don't have as much time to you know, before camp after the season. So it was good. It was good. Took, you know, took some time off as well, but, you know, put a lot of work in and, you know, it's good to be back though.
Yeah, speaking of that time off, how long did it take for you to get back into training? You go on any vacations, or how does that downtime look? Because I know, like you said, long seasons, it is a grind, you know, to be able to go that deep into the playoffs and play that many games. So how do you refresh yourself?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's tough for me to sit around kind of doing nothing and, you know, really take a lot of time off. So I'd say I was maybe 2 weeks max, you know, without working out. And then after that, I was, you know, kind of back in the gym, you know, training and stuff. And I didn't start skating until about a month after the season. So I kind of took some extra time off the ice, you know, put the gear away for a little bit. But it's hard for me to sit still, hard for me to do nothing. So I got back to, you know, working out in the gym pretty quickly after.
How do you feel when you reflect on how last year went? How do you feel like your year was for you and kind of the goals that you had set out for that year and how it turned out to be?
Yeah, I mean, on a personal level, it was definitely a year of a lot of growth for me and learning and understanding what it's like to be in the NHL and be an NHL pro. So it was a lot of fun too. Obviously, you're living out the dream, being in the NHL and being in that position. So learned a lot about myself, learned a lot about playing the NHL and what it takes to be a top player and to play against other top players on a night to night basis. So learned a lot about the year and overall happy with how it went personally for sure.
Seeing how it was a bit of a learning year and figuring out, what it takes to play in the NHL night in and night out, did you change anything this offseason when it came to your strength or, how you were going, or is it kind of the status quo and just trying to build off of what you did last year?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both for sure. Obviously, you're always trying to find, new little things to work on and, things that, I felt like, or situations I felt like I was in, more so last season, really, hone in on those, specific things, situations or areas where I felt like I got myself into a lot, last season. And kind of, go off those, prior experiences from last season and, really focus on those little areas specifically. That I kind of find myself more so in the NHL level, but at the same time, it's kind of the same thing. And I mean, like I said before, a little different for me with the amount of time I had in the off season, the amount of time I had to train. So had to structure it a little differently, but it was nice to have that much time as well.
Yeah, this would be kind of a two-part question. We talked a lot about throughout the broadcast during last season of where we saw your game, take those strides and those improvements. Where do you feel you made the biggest strides last year? And then the second part would be where could be another place, in this coming season where you want to take that next step as well?
Yeah, I think just overall learning, how to play with the puck and what's, like taking care of the puck. And then, defensively as well, taking care of my own end, especially as a centerman, really, focusing on, my defensive zone and what I'm doing there, playing against the best players every single night, really having to adjust to that, adjust to playing against these top guys and understanding what they do and how to stop them. Was a learning curve for sure last season. And, something I think is, area focus for me this year as well is, I want to be out there in the high pressure situations. I want to be trusted, to be put out there in, defensive situations. Obviously I want to, produce offense and score goals and all that, but I think where I can, take big steps for sure is gaining that trust from the new coaching staff, playing in my own end, winning faceoffs, stuff like that, especially for a centerman. That's always really important.
So Shane, I know that we have talked about this briefly, but from the outside, it seems like, you and Matty Beniers would have a lot in common to our fans in the sense that you were both, first round draft picks, these young centers, a lot of pressure, a lot of kind of, media notoriety on you guys. What is your relationship like between the two of you?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I have a great relationship with Matty. I think we both think alike. We're really both really, really competitive. We both want to win. We both want to get better. So it's nice, being around a guy like that. It's nice having a guy like that to work with and work against as well. He always makes me better, going against him in reps and practice. Always a guy that pushes me for sure. And, he was a great guy off the ice, obviously nice hanging out with him. Nice talking to a guy like that. Great guy to have around in the locker room and, just overall a really good teammate.
Are there certain areas of his game that you have noticed that he has really focused on and kind of stepped up to?
Yeah, I mean, his defensive game for me is really something that stands out for sure. Obviously, you see his play with the puck and offensively is, unbelievable what he does. But I think what I noticed last year as well is how stable and how, strong he was in the D zone. I mean, he was going against the toughest matchups. He was playing against, their team's, best lines every single night. And how he handled that, how he dealt with that in his own end and really took care of that own end. And then, how he's able to produce offensively as well while, playing against the other team's best players every single night was really, really impressive.
Yeah. As the day that we are recording this, it is the first official day of training camp. So we can't get too far into the weeds necessarily, but just kind of what are your first impressions of camp? And especially with, some kind of fresh management, a new coaching staff, about what the message is about what kind of team this needs to be.
Yeah. I mean, it's, just after the first skate there, it's going to be, we're going to be a competitive team. We're going to work. Coach Lane is, he's, expects a lot of us. He expects us to work and compete and to push push ourselves and be a hard team to play against. That was a big message of his, is really being quick to force pucks, being quick to close in the D zone especially, and being a really, really hard team to play against. And when teams come into Climate Pledge, they know they're in for a game and a tough matchup against us. That was another big message of his. So being really competitive, being fast and hard on pucks and being a tough team playing against was a really big message of his.
Yeah. As a player, how do you take it when a coach has those expectations and they're publicly saying, we need to play the right way? Obviously, you don't want to go into games thinking about making mistakes and how that goes. Usually you end up making more mistakes, but how do you balance that, in your own head? Obviously this coach is demanding a lot out of every player up and down the lineup and going out there and still playing your game.
Yeah, I think it's just about competing and working and proving and showing to him that, you can be in those situations. You can be that player who is competing, who is working. But also, especially, guys who want to be known as more offensive guys, I think being able to show the coach that you can, really, really be that competitive guy, really be that hardworking guy that's going to be hard to play against as well, I think is really, really important. And showing that, hey, I can create offense and score goals and all that, but this is really something that I want you to notice in my game, is I'm really competing, I'm really working more, and showing that, hey, I'm really buying into your messages and your philosophy and the type of game you want us to play.
Yeah. I'm assuming you've taken a look at this monster of a schedule that we have here. Anything that stands out to you about the schedule that you guys are tasked with this year?
I think it was tied for the most games ever in 1 month in January?
Like 17. I'm pretty sure it's an NHL record.
17 in 31 days. So yeah. It's a grind. Obviously, there's a 3-week break for the Olympics. So it's condensed schedule for sure. Games are gonna be tighter. It's gonna be a lot of travel and a lot less rest, so even more focus on taking care of your body and recovering and really doing the things away from the rink as well to care of yourself and all that stuff. So it's a tightly packed schedule though, for sure.
What about the start of the season? The first two games are at home, Anaheim, and then Vegas, and then that long road trip. JT and I were just talking about it. That's usually the trip that we have in January, where it's, Ottawa and Winnipeg and Philly and Toronto and all that out on the East Coast. That being the first trip out of the gate, what's kind of the challenge of that, or maybe a benefit? I don't know. What do you kind of make of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really good opportunity to set the tone for the season. If we can come out of that road trip, with a winning record and really against a lot of good teams as well, I think that really is going to set the tone for the season. It's really going to, I think, give us a lot of confidence and really give us a really big boost, coming back home and throughout the rest of the season. I think that's obviously a long road trip kind of, earlier in the season, but I think it's, it's gonna be a good challenge, but I think if we can come out on the right foot of that and really have a winning record, I think it's really gonna set us up for a good rest of the year.
Gets your boots on the ground early, that
absolutely.
Is for sure.
Yeah,
you talked about the condensed schedule and the rest side of that and how it's going to be a little bit harder, and you really have to focus on that. So when you're at home, what would you consider as a good rest day? Obviously there's some days where it's practice in between games or an off day. What do you like to do when it comes to just that rest side of things?
I mean, for me, kind of just sitting on the couch, just relaxing and really recovering, not doing too much. I think, maybe with the more condensed schedule, I'm going to be having to come in maybe on the off days a little more and get the, get treatment, get some extra work in. Maybe less of the days where I'm just kind of sitting doing nothing and really resting and more of the active recovery and that kind of stuff. And it's gonna be a busier schedule than what I'm used to, but it's all about kind of managing that and finding what routine works best for you, and try to take care of yourself as best as you can.
How about on the road? Because Piper and I, we're very I'm a room service type of guy. I like to on a rest day or an off.
Video games. Say
Switch,
what it is.
Room service getting delivered. Are you a room service kind of guy? Or are you gonna go out? You're gonna find the restaurants in every city. Take us through that.
Yeah, I mean, I like going out for meals with some of the guys. I think as much as it's important to kind of rest in the hotel room, it's also important to get out a little bit and get out of the hotel room. Get outside a little bit and be at a restaurant, be with the guys and hang out and all that. Get a good meal in as well. So, definitely it's nice to be in the hotel room and relaxing and sitting there, but it's also at the same time, you got to get out a little bit. You got to do something other than kind of sitting around.
Well, you guys can build that team bonding. And I think, you know, that'd be a positive, right?
We get out sometimes.
Yeah, every now and then.
We went to Disneyland and Six Flags.
I will take those every day. those are our team bonding.
For sure.
But no, I think that could be a positive of the first road trip. Yes, it's tough mm-hmm. that you have it off the start. You're having a new coaching staff. It's just, and new players, obviously, every year are coming into the fold of the team. And to be able to have that opportunity that early in the season to start having some of those dinners, taking guys out that you may not know or didn't get to know very well in training camp. So it can be a positive in that sense, too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, going on the road that quick, you're you know, around the guys a lot right from the start of the season. So, you know, kind of building up those connections as well with guys, you know, the newer guys on the team or guys maybe didn't connect with as much in the past. So, yeah, it's definitely nice to kind of, you know, get on the road and you know, really focus on, you know, just playing and nothing else.
I got a fun one for you, or maybe it's not fun. I don't know. But if you had to sing a karaoke duet with one of your teammates, who would you pick and what would you sing?
Oh, geez, I have no idea. I don't know who I would pick, but my go-to is always Take Me Home, Country Roads by John Denver. That's always been my go-to. That's most people know it, especially the chorus there. But I don't know who I'd pick. I feel like maybe Maddie. He'd be a good guy to sing with for sure.
He's very theatrical. His mom was in theater. Mm-hmm. I feel like he could put on a good show.
He would put on a great show, I think. Yeah.
I'm picking Piper. That's the easiest one. For our team that we have, I'm taking Piper. You are an artist, and then I'm just going to be background. Like, I'll let you take lead vocals, and I'll just be in the background.
That's fair. Really appreciate that, but I do think the fans would riot if you didn't pick John.
I want this to be good. I'm taking Piper. John would be a close second, but I'm taking you.
Wow.
Fair enough.
That's very kind.
I mean,
of
your
JT.
Music is played in the arena. I've heard it. So at the same time, like, that would be a no-brainer, at least for our team. I would have to choose you.
Wow. Well,
that's almost like cheating, though, I think, a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is also, again, kind of off top, but every now and then I do see, you know, when we go to karaoke, like, and then someone comes up. I never do it. I will never do karaoke. I think I've done it once in my life.
Not even if you sing Tequila.
No. but then when the one person who comes up that just is like stunning voice, like, they're like, I'm like, you shouldn't be coming up here for karaoke. I want to go there to hear people butcher the song and then everybody joins in.
You
like, that's what
people.
We watch. We're people watching during karaoke. We're not. Piper, you don't need to do karaoke is what I'm saying.
Okay. I appreciate that. I do feel I'm not that strong of a singer where I'm barred from karaoke, but I don't because I just feel weird about it in general. On that note, I have a friend, shout out Tyler, who one time I was at a bar with and he was like, I'm going to go sing Bohemian Rhapsody. And I was like, no. Like, I'm thinking, no, we're not doing
that. That's a crazy song to sing.
Yeah. I'm like, when somebody's picking Bohemian Rhapsody at the karaoke bar, you're like,
that's doing too much. That's doing way too much.
And then he nailed it and everybody, it was insane. I was like, whoa.
I would hope so. If you're picking that as your karaoke song, I'm
confident.
If you don't nail it, then there's something wrong, I think.
You're either confident or you've had too many
beverages.
That too.
No,
he just went up there and he just sang it out. I was like, okay. Is this a hidden talent?
Good on him.
Yeah. Anyway, karaoke thoughts. Yeah.
I got plenty of karaoke thoughts, but we don't need to continue down that road. So outside of hockey, I mean, for us, Piper, you talked about going to theme parks. We love doing that. Like, what's something that you're passionate about outside of the game of hockey?
I mean, I like playing golf, obviously. That's especially in the summer. That's a big thing of mine. But I enjoy cooking. I like making meals. I like, especially at home, you know, I feel like we're on the road so much going to restaurants. So it's nice being home, be able to cook your own meal. You know, I enjoy looking up recipes and trying out different things. And that's something that I kind of got into a few years ago. I think just, you know, especially when you have some downtime after a practice, like, you know, looking up a recipe and getting the groceries and stuff to make it and, you know, taking the time to really cook and, excuse me. I think it just like how good you kind of feel after and, I think whatever you cook for yourself as well always tastes a little bit better. But
I agree. I also like to cook, especially like you said, it's like during the season, like we don't really have a lot of time to, and you eat so much like takeout or team provided meals or whatever it is that it's like kind of a luxury to actually be able to like have that control. And also, yeah, I totally agree with you. And it's very rewarding. You know, you're like, I made this myself.
Absolutely.
And sometimes when it's not your best too, it's like, okay, well, I also made that myself, but a lesson learned.
Yeah.
What's your handicap?
I'm out of 4 right now.
Okay. That's pretty good. I'm not gonna lie. He's gonna beat me. Who do you think is the biggest sandbagger on the team?
Biggest sandbagger. Oh,
you have to name somebody.
I'm gonna call someone out here. Well, played a couple weeks ago with Maddie, and he said he's an 8 handicap, and they shot 2 over. So, yeah, a bit of a sandbagger, I think it was just a good day.
I mean, that does happen. Yeah, you'll see that go through. I love golf, and I also hate golf at the same time. It can be the best. You can shoot your, you know, personal record out at a course, and then the next time you go, and all of a sudden you're 15 shots worse. So,
yeah.
All right. Okay. I just wanted to get that out there to see, you know, who was doing what. And then also lastly, go-to meal, your best. What are you best at making?
I love making steak. I love cooking steaks. And ribeye, New York strips, usually my go-to. Do a little garlic butter as well. And sometimes make some mashed potatoes with it, or sweet potatoes, asparagus, broccoli, kind of mix it up. But I like cooking a good steak. It's always can't go wrong.
What do you think?
Are you grilling or are you in the pan?
Both. I do both. Yeah.
A big question here. What do you think of a end cut, well done steak?
I think that's insane and psychopath.
I agree.
That's what I think.
I agree too. Edzo, you're taking we're taking shots at you here. You can't defend yourself.
Done steak is crazy. I'm sorry to say it will get
brought up on the broadcast for sure.
He won't listen to this unless somebody tells him he needs to listen to it, and now he's going to listen to it.
We're talking about steaks. We've brought it. I mean, the broadcast has all sorts of conversations, this podcast as well. And all the time, it's a end cut, well done every time. And literally, your answer is what everybody says. We all try to tell them at least go to medium.
How do you even chew it?
He's still chewing right now. So
literally.
He's over in 32 literally. Chewing right now.
No, that is always the same answer. So you're not alone there. We're giving him the same the same flack.
As you should. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, anyway, on that note, Shane, thank you so much for doing this. We appreciate you taking this time, and we're really looking forward to, I think I speak on behalf of all of us, just this next season for you and for the team and the new opportunity ahead. And it's a privilege to get to be part of it with you and with the rest of the team. So thanks for doing this.
No, thank you guys. That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Thank you.